How I Created the Life I Lived, Part 2. Last time we talked about this writer from Tibet, Lobsang Rampa. And as I read his material, he was the first individual that, in a sense, came out and said, you know, the things that I experienced already by my creating them and believed. He was the first person that came out and said these things are real. Plus added many more concepts to it, like the third eye that he talked about, out-of-body travel, and many other things. As I accepted him and that material, by that I had a belief system. So as I accepted him, and I accepted him probably because of his honesty, in all of his books you can tell who he is. He never tried to hide his real personality, positive or negative. He never tried to hide his feelings, positive or negative. He, in his books, you could tell who he was. Grumpy sometimes, happy sometimes, but there was no smudging over. And all my life, even in my young years, that's something I disliked. And I instantly would mistrust someone that ran around and said everything's perfect all the time and always gave that facade of perfection, because I could easily see that it wasn't so. And to me, if they lied about that, well, then they lied about other things also. And when you start questioning about what is true and what is not, well, it gets kind of complicated. You've either got to believe or not believe. So, that's one of the main reasons why I accepted him. And I accepted his material. And by accepting it, I set things in motion as far as the universe is concerned, as in allowing, which makes it easier for me to learn certain things he was talking about, like out-of-body travel, similar to remote viewing things, third eye, which is basically, you know, seeing things that other people can't really see, seeing colors around people's bodies and so forth, and on and on. Because my openly accepting of this material, that makes it, in a sense, easier to learn and do it, because the universe sets up all the coincidences and everything that has to fall into place, and any information that you need will be brought to you, or brought to me in that case. Sometimes when we do this later in life, you know, we might be 30 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old, and we read about something and we want to change your lives, and a lot of times through the process we've perhaps tried some things and they didn't work. So then now we come to something else, and someone is writing about something, let's say my book about sending love, and you read it and it makes sense, but you tried other things and you have your doubts and you say, well, maybe this is just more farce than the other stuff. That basically locks up your ability, because in a sense, your ability is based on the believing. The believing unlocks the ability, or tells the universe to unlock the ability and set about the coincidence, circumstances, and everything that needs to fall into place to make this happen for you and open up those talents. We all have abilities. We all have the same capabilities and abilities, but we don't all allow the same abilities and capabilities. In other words, someone may allow themselves to be a very good musician. Another person doesn't, even though they want to be a musician, they don't really allow it. The talent is there, it's always there. We come with it because we are all that is. as a being before we came here to experience life. So we have all the abilities. We don't always allow it. And when you look at people and watch people and yourself, sometimes it's easier to learn about yourself by watching other people. Because a lot of what you see in other people can be reflections of what's going on in ourselves. So as you watch other people and they talk about things that they may want or want to achieve but never seem to, listen very carefully and ask yourself, are they allowing it? I mean, really, are they really allowing themselves to have these things or experience these things or have that success? Or is there something in their way, perhaps fear? Who knows? But as you start seeing these things, you'll start recognizing them more in yourself. And, you know, the more I look at the creating of things that I want to experience, how I did it in the past, unknowingly, because I didn't really know that I was actually creating the circumstances that I was experiencing. And even later on, at probably the age of, 17, 18, I read books that talked about creating, and that you create your own reality, and it was called a Seth material. And it all made sense, but it never really sunk in, and I never really accepted the responsibility that I create all the things that I experienced. There are things today that I look at in the past that I still can't quite figure out how I managed to create that, because some of the ugly stuff, it doesn't fully make sense. But as I learn more and I understand more about the creating process and I play with it more and I become more accepting of myself, of things that I experienced, I know that in time I'll be able to see how I created some of those ugly things that I experienced. When that time comes, you know, I'll take a look at it and I'm sure I will begin the process of understanding it. It's not an important thing to understand all that, but it is important to increase the ability to deal with the responsibility that we create our own lives and our own experiences. And no one can really totally save us from what we create, because we'll just slip back into it. It's sort of like a downhill slide. If we don't make the effort to get out of the little hole that we are in or perceive ourselves in, someone might come along and help pull us out, and they might even get us to the edge with their effort. But if we're not really making the effort, we'll just slide back down. So it's really up to us. And it's really up to us to sit and accept responsibility for what we create. But we can't really do that until we believe that we do the creating. And even though I read some of the material in the past that we create our own reality and so forth, and I agreed with it and I did believe it, I never fully really accepted it. And because I never really fully accepted it, I never really worked with it that much. See, if you don't fully accept something, you're not going to use it as a tool. You may have a wrench in your toolbox, and it may be the best one for the job. But if you don't accept or believe that is the one for the job that you're doing, then you're not going to use that wrench. You'll use all the other ones, but not that one. Even though you may know it's a good wrench and it might even work, you don't really accept fully that that's the thing. And when you don't fully accept it, you haven't got 100% in it. And when you don't have 100% in it, you're not going to get the 100% results. And that's the truth of the matter. And I've talked about this before. The results are directly associated to our percentage of believing, accepting, and utilizing those tools, whatever they be. So all the experiences that I experienced, I created. And like I said, I can look at probably about 70 to 75% of them now and see, go back and see exactly how I created them, exactly what I was thinking about, exactly what I was dreaming about, visualizing, fantasizing about. And it's directly related also with what I believed. So you can fantasize about something, but if you don't have the belief, it's locked up. So it just stays a fantasy. Once you have a belief, it's like saying, okay, to the universe, create this now. Until the belief is there, it won't get created. So as I go back and look at what I imagined, what I pretended, what I dreamed about, and then I look at what I believed possible and accepted, those are the things that actually came true. Good or bad, positive or negative. I created many, many experiences that weren't that positive. I created many that were positive. But either way, I created them. And once I realized that, fully accept that I created them, the stuff that you read about in the book, then there's a bigger acceptance of the stuff that happened that is not very good or not very pleasant. Because there's a bit of a responsibility there, but there's something else that lights up inside of me when I think about that, that I have the ability to direct what I experience. That means if I never ever want to experience something like that again, I don't have to. And there's nothing and no one in the universe that can force me to. Ultimately, the universe is based on one simple thing, freedom, absolute freedom. And no one can direct the will over another. Unless that person convinces the others that they are right and they have the power and that the rest of us have to follow. Then, of course, we give our power over to them. This is what we've learned to do right from when we were very young. I mean, it's the first thing we learn from our parents is to give power over to someone else. Because the parents begin at early age to be our directors. And the only way they can direct us is if we give them the power to direct us. So we start the process naturally there. And in school we give it to a teacher perhaps, and as we go on to someone else, and as we move on to an employer, a president, whatever it may be. And it just goes on and on and on. At some point, we have to begin the process of taking that power back and directing our own lives. The point is, everything is possible. Imagine it, dream it, visualize it, spend all your time doing it as if you have it, and understand and remember that it's the stuff that you can believe that you will receive, you'll actually then end up receiving. I mean, that's, in a sense, part of the key, is believing, yes, I can have $3.6 million income per year, whatever the case. If there's another belief in there that says, oh, that's too much, it's not good for people to have so much money, what about the people that don't have it? Well, if you have those issues, then that overrides, and what you end up having is a non-belief, or a belief that's overwritten by guilt, saying, well, I kind of believe it's possible, but it's not good, so I shouldn't have it, and that, in a sense, will tell the universe no. Watch me visualize it. Watch me trying to experience it, but don't create it. Learning to create, sort of attract, and direct the universe to give you the things that you want is not an overnight thing. It's something you slowly learn and you become accustomed to. And if you're around other people, then it sometimes can make it difficult because a lot of people don't understand it. I'll give you a perfect example. We talk about a lot of stuff we're creating. We talked about for a long time about the boat we were creating. Of course, as we were creating it and working it out, it changed. It became larger, a different type of boat, and so forth. And after a while, we sort of stopped at that. We still looked at boats, but we didn't talk so much about that anymore. We started talking about houses, piece of property. We knew in the meantime the boat would come along because we've done the creating process, the visualizing, the talking about it, the believing. And then we switch. And now we talk about a house. Well, first it was a small little house on the water. Then it became a larger house on the water. Then it became a larger house or a larger piece of property on the water. And there are people who listen to that and they go, well, how are you going to afford that? How are you going to buy that? That's like $3 million or $4 million or $5 million. We're not really concerned about that. We believe whatever it takes to buy that will come along. That's not really our problem. It's not really our issue. That's the universe. All that energy that we radiate out, that love that we send out, will simply find a method. That's its issue. That's what it does. Just like on a computer, when you punch something in, you don't ask the program how it's doing it. You just expect the computer to do whatever it needs to do to create whatever you wanted it to do. And we do the same thing. After a while, these people, you know, that sort of push against it and say, that's not possible, you're just fantasizing, making stuff up, wasting your time, they disappear. They just vanish out. They're there mostly when you have doubts. When your doubts vanish, they vanish and disappear. So if you're creating and doing that and you have a lot of these people around you like that, that's okay. Don't try to push them away. Don't fight against them. Don't try to change their mind. Don't try to get them to see the light. You see the light. They're a reflection of you where you are right now. And as you improve your belief system, they will go away. All of a sudden they'll stop calling you. You won't run into them anymore. They'll just disappear. And other people will slowly take their place. So as we started talking about the house, the boat got created. And now we live in a boat. But we're still, of course, now talking about a house because we're moving on to our next experience. And it's still in the creating process because we haven't fully even figured out all the stuff that we want, but we know a lot of it. We've got a lot of pieces put together, but the other day we were talking about it and we expanded it some more. And we sort of came to the conclusion that, do we really need to be beside the ocean, or would it be better to have a larger piece of property like a small ranch and have some horses and stuff? And we decided that, yeah, you know what, in the long run, we would rather have that than be right beside the ocean, because we would enjoy that more. And it would give us also more variety. And perhaps have it near a lake, or a lake on a property where we still can do some boating and stuff, maybe. Do some windsurfing, water skiing, or whatever. So we're defining, as we play along with this, we're defining more and more what we like, what brings us the most joy. And as we define it, the universe will define that very piece of property that we will receive. The same as with the boat. And then we will move on. And probably before we even get this property, we will probably change and start creating something new, the next thing. Because the property will come. We've now put it in a place we're satisfied with the image and the feeling that we've created. And now we move on and start creating something else. And in the meantime, that property will come along. Even though we're already working on something else, another experience that we will create. And so as you move along, your creating is always ahead of what you're receiving. So this kind of makes it complicated to fully understand how we created the things in the past, because see, our creating is always so far ahead of the receiving. So we start creating on something, then we move to something else, and somewhere in that line, that first object will start to appear. Maybe not as perfect, because we're still learning the practice of consciously creating something. And we move on now to the third thing. And while we're in that, that second thing will start to appear. And in that process, we're moving on to the fourth item. And somewhere in that line, the third item will start to appear. And sort of, it's always a little bit of backlog. You're moving ahead, playing with the next item that you're creating while receiving that other item. It's kind of a strange thing to work on one thing and receive something that you created in the past. But you get used to it after a while. It's a practice thing. The sooner you start it in your life, the easier it becomes. So if you're young, you know, you're 12 years old, 13 years old, you start the process of looking at this, understanding it. By the time you're 18, you'll have already gotten some very good momentum, gotten the hang of it, and life just picks up and moves along. All you have to do is believe. Again, as I think about everything that came about, I believed it. Everything I created. Even the meeting with Nina and Danny. That meeting cannot occur without my consent. That is absolutely impossible and would go against every law in existence. I created that meeting because what I imagined before was a direction that I didn't know how to write or anything else. So, but I did know how to imagine. I did know how to pretend stuff. And I just did, in a sense. Pretend that there is someone came and I got direction. I got help. I didn't quite imagine it the way it came. Because the universe sort of takes what you've got and adds to it. It's like a chef. That's a good example. You see, you go to a chef and say, listen, I'm hungry and I want something really yummy. And the chef might say, on the sweet side or the sour side? Oh, on the sweet side. See, now you go away. You have no idea fully what you're getting. You know what you're getting is going to be good. It's going to taste sweet. Could be berries. Could be sugary. Who knows? And the chef comes with fresh baked apple pie with ice cream on top and chocolate strips or whatever. And you go, wow. I didn't even realize that that's the perfect thing that I needed right now, that I wanted, but I didn't fully realize it. But we don't need to, because we have our larger selves, which directs that a little bit. We have the universe, which will direct it. We have the ability to radiate out love. And that love is a conscious thing. It's not a non-conscious. It's not like energy. It's conscious. And so it will set about creating the perfect thing, even though we don't know what would be perfect. We haven't decided fully yet. So it directs, in a sense, the chef and says, ah, you know, all things considered, right now the apple pie would be the best. And there you go. Because what you imagined when you went to the chef, pretending the chef is the universe, you said, I want something yummy, something that tastes really good to me right now. What would taste really good to me right now? And you just imagine eating something really yummy that sits with you really well physically, you know, in your stomach. It's not going to give you an upset stomach or anything. Just will go really well with you. So you want something good to eat. You can kind of smell it, even though you don't know what you're smelling. You just know it's smelling wonderful. You just go, ah, it smells wonderful. See, I don't really smell anything. I just sort of say it and kind of pretend it. That's enough. That's enough. I don't have to actually smell the apple pie. It could be a peach pie. I'm willing to leave it open like that to see what the chef makes. Sometimes you want something a certain way. And so, let's say if you wanted an apple pie, well, then you would pretend smelling the apple pie. You just do it the best you can. Some people I see them write and they go, I don't feel anything, I don't this, I don't that. That's a pile of crap. Alright, you always feel. Always. If you didn't feel, you'd be so numb that you wouldn't even know that you're not feeling. So you always feel something. There's a little tingly, anything. It's in your mind sometimes, that's enough. That's all it takes. And then the believing that it will show up. And if you believe, you'll create it. In your mind, you'll imagine it. If your real belief is there, you'll do that and you'll just let go because you'll have a full acceptance that it will show up. It's just that simple. Believing means full acceptance that it will show up. There's no doubt. So when I created the experience, let's say, with Nina and Danny, I was very vague. I just needed help. I knew I needed help. I needed something. And in my mind, I had this thing that I'm trying to find the word for it. I wanted something elaborate, something interesting, something bizarre, you know, with pizzazz to it. Not just some writer or somebody who can spell walk in the door and go, yeah, I can write this for you, just here, no problem, click, click, click. Well, that's boring enough for me, boring enough for you, boring enough for the universe. I wanted something with pizzazz, something that would shock me, would, you know, make me go, holy cow, okay, what's going on here? That's what I wanted. That's sort of what I had in my heads, and that's sort of what I felt. And then I just went on, and bang, one day there it was, exactly like that. More so, actually, more so, because the chef, the universe, made an extra special dinner. He said, I'll give you a dinner, 5-course, with dessert, and so on, right? I've had people write and go, you've lived such a fantastic life, I wish I could have that, I wish you could believe you could have that, because if you could just believe it, then you will have it. Start imagining it, and you will have it. If you're so interested, really interested, in talking to nature spirits in the woods, well, then just go. Start pretending. The first thing you're going to feel is probably stupid. That's fine. At least you're feeling something. And then you go on from there. The experience will come about. I explained that in one of my tapes. I was walking on the island and I hardly saw any wildlife. So I pretended I saw wildlife. Next thing I know, I'm seeing wildlife all the time. The same thing goes for everything else. You pretend you're doing it and it will happen. If you can just believe. I mean, if you can't believe, then why bother? You're wasting your time. First, look at yourself in the mirror and say, can I just believe in that? Why not? Just believe in that. What's wrong with it? You don't even have to tell anyone. It's just between you and you. Just start believing and then just go sit under a tree and start yakking. Once, something that people always come back and say, I don't think the tree was interested in what I had to say. How do you know? Of course it's interested. We all have interests. And the tree has as much interest in your strange life as you might have in its life. So don't worry about all that stuff. Because, I'll tell you why, you don't need to worry about it. Because if you believe, the tree, or the forest spirit, or whatever, that has interest in what you have to say or you want to talk about, the universe will bring the two of you together. In other words, the universe is a little bit smarter than maybe what sometimes people give it credit for. It won't put you with a tree that has no interest in what you have to say. It will put you in a tree that has interest in what you have to say, that has interest in your energy the way it is right now. The universe has that ability and is always working on that, constantly. And is constantly putting matching energy with matching energy. And out of 10,000 trees, you will end up at the one who matches you. Automatically. You don't have to do any of that. The universe takes care of that. 24 hours around, 357 days, 356 days, I don't know how many days. Anyway, constantly. It never stops. I think that's enough for now. I think you got the idea how all this came about. And maybe you'll believe a little bit more that you can create anything you want. Anything, absolutely anything is there for you. Just pretend it, believe it, spend a little time radiating out love, just let it flow out, pretend, believe, and move on from there. It will happen.